But God is always good to us, and we know that. God has answered so many of our prayers in so many ways, and we're always thankful when He does. I'm thankful to see you here today. It's good to have this time so that we can celebrate the love of Christ together and to study His Word together. This morning, I am going to continue in the book of Genesis. I've been talking with you about questions that God has asked of man. I'm going to continue with that this morning. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, and I do ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, Where is your brother Abel? Father, we thank you so much for this day, for your blessings in it. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word to learn about our own nature, about who we could possibly be if we're not following in the footsteps that you have given us to walk. Lord, when we set our desires above yours, and Father, I do pray today that you strengthen us through this time, that you will teach us and grow us. And Lord, lead us to repentance where repentance is needed. For Father, it's to your glory we study your word and seek to be your people. And to your glory we ask for your help. And we thank you that you have heard us and will be with us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I know that we are all familiar with the story of Cain and Abel, and there is so much in these few verses that we have read that we could unpack, and we could spend a few hours here talking about all of the things that are happening and what has transpired in this scripture and how it reflects even in our lives today. These same kinds of selfish ambitions and desires that motivate us to walk against the will of God. And it's hard to imagine that someone can be so close to God, to claim God as their Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. And they can't submit to God's will, to the will of their Lord and Savior. They have to submit to their own carnal, self-minded ambitions. Cain. And Cain's not the only one. We see it all through Scripture. We see it in our world today. We have even had it in our life at times. But how is it that we as professing Christians can find ourselves at so much of an odd against God? How can we get to that place in our life where we are just battling God? There is an author by the name of Jerry White. He was an author for The Navigator. Many of you may know of that Christian publication, The Navigator. He was an author for that. He was a military officer. He retired from the Air Force, I believe it was. He wrote many books with the Christian teaching theme. And one of the things that Mr. White stated, and I think we all should hear this, it's a very strong statement, and we should think about this. In our walk with God, he says, no one is so empty as the man who has stopped walking with God and doesn't know it. How can we get to a point in our life where we're not walking with God and we can't recognize it? We don't know it. Jesus even warns us in Matthew. He says, I tell you the truth, they will stand before me in that day and say, didn't we do signs and wonders in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. And even here in this scripture, Cain's having a conversation with the Lord, and God says to him, sin is lying at the door, but you should rule over it. And all of us every day in our life, we face sin at our door. It's always there. It doesn't have to knock. It just waits for you to open because it's going to be there, waiting to jump upon you, to devour you like a lion waiting on its prey. Sin lies at the door, but you should rule over it. Now, I am not going to stand here and tell you that I am 100% successful in ruling over sin that it tries to invade my life. How many of you would dare say that you are 100% completely able to avoid and to fight off sin when it shows itself in your life? Anybody? Please don't raise your hand. Please don't. None of us are perfect, are we? There's only one that is good, and that's Jesus Christ. And all of us are still striving to be as close to Him as we can be. And we fail at times. But failure is different than setting yourself apart from God and choosing your own path and expecting God to honor it. And see, this is what's happening in the life of Cain. This is what happens in the life of so many people, even in our world today, under the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. How can we find ourselves walking at such a pace to outdistance God when we already know from our study we can't go anywhere where God's not already there? Neither height nor depth, nothing created, no spirit, no angel, not things that are, not things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love that is in Jesus Christ for us. And if His love is with us, His presence is with us. We can't get away from Him. Whether I make my bed in Sheol or I lift myself up into the heavens, you are there. God is there. He always will be. But look what's happening here. There's so much that I want to say. Y'all forgive me if I get on a few rabbit trails, okay? But the very first thing we see, Adam knew his wife, and Eve conceived, and she had a son, and she's making a very excited statement there. I have a man-child from God! I have a man-child from God. Do you know, Eve is making such a point about this because when God was talking with them and handing out the punishment for the sin in the garden, He made the promise that one would come and defeat the enemy. And the first child she had, it was a man, and she thought, and with exclamation, this is the man-child that is promised. Boy, he turned out a whole lot different than she expected, didn't he? How many of us turn out different than people think? How many of our kids turn out different than we think? I'm thankful that, mine have turned out a lot better than I thought they would. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Thank goodness they had their mother's influence in their life. Amen. I have a man child. She was excited. Then she had another child, Abel, a younger brother. Cain, the oldest, and Abel was younger, and they both had their assigned duties in life. And Cain worked the ground, and you know, that's an honorable job, isn't it? Bringing forth fruits and vegetables and you know, providing for the family. Abel, though, he was a shepherd. He tended the flocks, and it came time for them to make an offering to God, and Abel made an offering that was very pleasing to God. One of the sheep, the fat of the sheep, the blood that was shed. Cain brought fruit of the ground, and I've done this with you before, and it's been some years ago, but I remind you that when Cain brought the fruit of the ground, what's the difference between Eve and eating of the apple, and then Adam eating of the apple, and then Cain bringing something of the very substance that caused the fall of mankind and saying, "This is my offering." When it was the blood of the lamb that provided the clothing that covered Adam and Eve, a substitute sacrifice, because God had promised that someone would die, Adam would die, if he ate of the fruit. And yet God took a substitute in that lamb and shed his blood and made tunics of skin and covered them. A foreshadowing of the things that God had already in store for the forgiveness of sin through the shedding of blood on the cross at Calvary through Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, to cover us in mercy. The same way that Adam and Eve were covered in mercy with the lambs, the skin of the lambs. But what they offered is not so much of as important to us as is the heart with which they give it. Because God was pleased with Abel and his offering, but he was not pleased with Cain and his offering. Now I want you to notice, he didn't say, "I'm not pleased with you, Cain. I'm not pleased with your offering. What you are giving, what you are bringing to me as something to be wholesome and honorable to me. I don't find it wholesome. I don't find it honorable. And you can do better. You can do better." So why didn't he just try to do better? What is it about the nature of people that we can't just do better? Better when God himself has told us, when we have God's word to lead us and guide us, why can't we just do better? Because we aren't spiritually aware. We might not really be walking with God after all. The carnal mind is at enmity with God, and it does not recognize the things of God. And the Spirit, if it's not from God that's teaching you from within, then it's the Spirit from the enemy, filled with the world and its desires, that are teaching you from within. And Cain was being led by his own desires, and he wanted to make this offering, but you know what? I sure don't like my younger brother being picked over me. How about that? How about that? You remember when God came into the garden and he said to Adam, "Where are you?" And the question was not so much, "So where are you? I can't find you." It was, "Do you realize? Why are you hiding? I know where you are. Do you know where you are?" It's about the relationship where they were walking in closeness. Now they are not walking in closeness, and there's a separation. That's what the question is meant for us to see and to understand. Where are you? And then he went to Eve and he asked her this question after she was challenged about eating. He said, "What is this you have done?" It's a progression of questions that God is asking of people. Adam and Eve and Cain even. But the progression goes from, "Where are you? What is this you have done?" to now, why are you so angry? If you want to make an offering to God, why would you be so angry if he told you, well, it needs to be done better? If you want to live your life as a Christian and God puts things in your life to show you that you are not honoring him in his life, why would you become angry? Are you honoring God? Are you seeking the accolades of men? That's really what it boils down to, isn't it? How can we be so hard-hearted, enough so as to think we are right, even when God has told us we're wrong? You ever seen anybody stop, argue with a stop sign? I don't argue with them. It tells me to stop. I don't. I just keep going. Amen? Come on now. You've heard the old expressions. They'd argue with a stop sign. There's all kind of expressions that we have that hit on this idea on how people think. The nature of what's behind how they think. And really what it all focuses on, what it brings our attention to is that it's our focus on ourselves and our own desires and not really what God desires or has taught or has clearly explained that he wants in our life. It's about our desires. And you know where our hearts are, where our desires originate? From within our heart. And listen to what Jesus says about the heart in Matthew chapter 15. He says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." From within our heart. And Cain is just giving us a wonderful example of following his own heart and not following the will and the instruction of God. We see in this passage that Cain would later go talk to his brother Abel. I wonder what that conversation sounded like. I mean, if I think about my own life and my own interactions with people or the interactions I've seen others have. You know, a lot of times conversations like this are had so that people can find a common ground or one can be persuaded to another side and things can be changed and actions can quit being this and start being this. I wonder if Cain, when he was talking to Abel, said, you know, I am the oldest in the family. Don't you think you could help me out? Maybe you could take some offering of this fruit that I have and give it to God to show God it's okay and then he would be happy with me. I don't know what kind of conversation they had. Whatever it was, though, Cain was not happy with his brother Abel, was he? And he struck him down. And he killed him. Adam and Eve had no idea what death was until they ate the apple and saw the death of that lamb. Can you imagine the kind of horror they must have felt to hear that lamb when it was slaughtered and to see the blood and all of that that was involved and then to be covered with the skins that possibly still had the wetness of the blood upon them, the smell of death. They didn't know what it felt like to experience it still. I've told you before, they had never seen a parent die. They never saw a sparrow die, but they knew what it was to see a lamb die. They never said goodbye to a family member, but now a child is dead at the hands of his brother. Because he could not conquer sin in his life. Sin lies at the door, but you should rule over it and not it over you. You see, when we rule over sin in our lives, we have a wonderful testimony to show and to tell. But when sin rules over us, boy, that testimony is tarnished and people see the truth of who we are and the actions of who we are. The harm that we caused rather than the joy that we bring. This is the natural man's solution. If I can't make what I am pleasing to God, then I will remove what God has set as the standard. So there's only one standard left, and it's me. And that's why Cain killed his brother Abel. God said, this is the standard. Cain said, okay, I'll take care of it. He didn't take care of it in a way that he imported the things into his life that God wanted him to have. He just took away the things in life God loved and left himself so there would be only one there. Now, God, it's me or nothing. You made me this way, though, by the way. How do we get to that point in our life? Why are we so angry at God when it's our own doings that get us to these places where God brings us to a place of correction? Usually it's just teaching until it's time for the punishment. And Cain was about to face punishment. But he's not the only one in history that has had God teach them and have done things otherwise of their own choice. Or maybe they haven't walked with God in so long they've just simply forgotten what God has said. You know, they don't read Scripture anymore. They just remember Sunday school when they were 10 years old. And that was 60 years ago, by the way. And they don't remember. They don't know the full truth of God. They remember singing Kumbaya and Do Lord, Oh Do Lord. And they remember playing on the swing sets. And they remember the cookies. And they remember building bird houses out of popsicle sticks. Now, I'm remembering my stuff now. Y'all remember any of that? But I don't remember going home and reading the Bible and understanding God's Word fully. And at what point in our life do we learn to do that? What point in our life do we incorporate that into our daily living? How do we get to know the full counsel of God if we don't talk with God? Because I'm going to tell you, talking with your friends will lead you the wrong way. Because they probably haven't read any more than you have. They probably haven't prayed any more than you have. They might not have been to Sunday school as much as you have. And this is not a finger-pointing time. This is a time for recognition. This is like God standing before Cain and said, hey, your offering's not good enough, but you can do better. This is a time for us to hear God saying, I'm not accusing you or punishing you, but I'm saying you can do better. And which way our carnal mind leads us, or which way the Spirit leads us, determines who we become. Do we become like Cain? Or do we become that testimony that Christ so badly wants us to be? We find it all in Scripture, throughout Scripture, where people have forgotten God and have forgotten how to honor God and to live by the instructions, the rule book that God has given us. In fact, if you remember Adam, who talked directly face to face with God, he still ate the apple. Later on, there would be others that would come along, and then you get to Moses and Aaron. Y'all remember Moses and Aaron, right? Moses saw the burning bush and he had a speech impediment. He stuttered or something of a nature that made it uncomfortable for him to speak before people of prominence even. He didn't want to go back to Egypt. So God said, well, take your brother Aaron. I'll let him be a spokesperson for you. Speak through him. But the actions and the deeds will come through you. So Moses and Aaron, they were tag teaming, and they went on through, and they got out of Egypt, and they got moving through the desert, and they began to set up the sacrificial system. God began to give the laws and to ordain what the temple would be and how it would operate. And Aaron, he had a few sons. You know that? Aaron had a few sons, and only the high priest could go into the temple and make that offering before God. But somewhere along the way, Aaron's two oldest sons, Nadab and Abihu, decided that they were going to make an offering before God. And in the book of Leviticus, you find that they offered a profane fire. You know what profane fire means? It means it was other than how God instructed or allowed. It means that someone else made the offering other than what was instructed or allowed. It means it was not pleasing to God. It means that they did it in the way they thought was good. They thought, oh, we're going to do a different thing today. We're going to make an offering to God. Oh, by the way, did you know they were drunk? People do some really dumb things when they're under the influence of substances. And they went in and they offered this profane fire. And when they offered the profane fire, God used that fire to devour them. Kill them right there. Burn them to a crisp. Toasty. Y'all know what I'm saying, don't you? They were punished for their sin. Moses went to Aaron immediately and he said, hold your tongue. Aaron was upset. Moses said, hold your tongue because God can destroy to the third generation. By the way, Aaron had three sons. Two of them just died. Hold your tongue. I am a holy God and I will be revered as a holy God. This is what God teaches us. We can't just make a profane fire out of our life and say to God, well, accept it, take it or leave it. God's going to leave it. God's going to leave it because He has given us His way of life and the testimony of His Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of sin, not so that we could live freely in sin and just be whatever we want to be, whether it honors God or not. And I tell you, if it honors God, He's not going to have much to say to you. You might get a pat on the back from the Spirit in there every once in a while saying, good job, keep going. You like those kind of moments, don't you? But when you walk opposite of God, the Spirit is going to convict. And when someone speaks to you about it, it is also God's instrument to say, get this right. You're not walking with God. And then we can choose. Follow self or follow God. There was a priest by the name of Uzzah. He was in the temple during the time of King David. Y'all know who David was, right? The Ark of the Covenant. God had given instructions on how to move the Ark of the Covenant. The priests were supposed to run poles down the loops on the sides of it, and they were supposed to carry it. Four men. Two in the front, two in the back. And they walked with the ark. Do not touch it. Don't handle it in any other way. And the ark was going to be brought back to the city of where David was at. And so the priest loaded up the ark on a cart. And they're driving the donkeys and the mules and whatever else they've got pulling their carts, and the oxen stumbled and the cart rocked and the ark was about to take a fall. And Uzzah, the priest, he reached out to keep it from hitting the ground, and he touched the ark and he died in an instant because he dishonored God and did not do as God had instructed. You know, in the Bible it says this, God speaks of himself, I am the Lord, I do not change. Amen. And when he gives us instruction on how to live and how to honor him, we don't make changes without his approval, or we will pay the price. It's all in Scripture. Cain could not rule over his sin. Nadab and Abihu, I guess they just thought it was all for fun. Uzzah, a priest, not following the instructions of God. And you know, if these people are walking so close and in these circles where people are supposed to know God best above all, if they can fail because of their lack of attention, how easy it for us to fail when we have a lack of attention. How easy it for us to dishonor God, even though he has given so much to honor us. Why do we get so angry when God just tries to teach us? God wants only good for us. Why do we get angry when he's trying to help us find the best of God in our life? Why do we get angry and do the things that we do so that God asks another question? Hopefully not like this one that he asked Cain. Where is your brother? You know, God knew where Adam was. God knows where Abel is. It's not a question about where your brother is. It's a question for you to recognize what you have done to your brother. It is a time for repentance. Cain said, what, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Jesus said in Matthew, for by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. Justified, condemned. Cain was punished, wasn't he? He was fearful of the punishment that God was giving him. Someone will find me and kill me. God said, oh no, I'm put a mark on you so that if anybody sees you and kills you, they will suffer sevenfold the punishment that I'm placing on you. But Cain was separated from God. Now the separation wasn't because of his own choice, it was because of God's choice. How many of us dare face the possibility that we're separated from God, not because of our choice, but because of his choice? My friends, I'm telling you, you don't want that in your life. You don't want to be separated. Like Cain, you would cry out, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's only what you see now. And eternity is still coming. And what do you do then? Sin lies at the door. But you should rule over it. Let me tell you how you rule over sin. You don't fight that battle by yourself. You call for God's help. You call for a godly friend to help you in a time of need, to encourage you or to remind you of God and His goodness. You find help. Don't fight the battle alone. God's never telling any of us to fight by ourselves. And He's already said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, nor abandon you. You might not feel His presence, but He's there. Ask Him to magnify His glory in the moment. And you can have victory over sin. You know what I'm saying is, you can have victory over yourself through Jesus Christ, through the atoning work and the power of His grace and mercy, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and its guidance. You can have victory in Jesus. But you have to know Him as Lord and Savior. Don't just call Him Savior. Call Him Lord and Savior. These people we talked about, they didn't call Him Lord. It's evident by the actions that they took and by the response they received from God. And God speaks to us. He says, find peace. Come, let us reason one with another. I have given my Son so that you can be forgiven of sins. What more can I give? What more would we ask? To live freely as we choose? He's not taking that away from you. He's asking you to fight that and to be changed, to be renewed in Him. And so I call to you this morning and I ask you to find forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, to find yourself a new creation because of the indwelling of the Spirit and the changing of your mind, to see those good and glorious things that God wants to bring into your life. I'm asking you to come and find your peace with God through His Son, for there is no other name by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. The altar is open. Will you come? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for grace and mercy again upon our lives. Lord, I thank You for Your words to teach us and to strengthen us. I thank You, Lord, that You are always with us and always there to help and to answer our calls when we cry out to You. I pray, Father, if there's one here who has not found peace through Jesus, today will be their day of salvation. And You will seal them for the day of redemption with Your Holy Spirit. Their minds will change and their testimony will shine forth the glory of You. Father, I ask this for Your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?